Our correspondent in Coromandel is John Freer. Now, he's CFM local news reporter. Thank you, John, as always. Welcome.
Good morning, Catherine.
A couple of big events coming up on the peninsula. Fill us in.
Yes, well, there are. And one of them is kicking off tomorrow morning, which is the Kubota Bullfish Classic, which is now being regarded as the biggest fishing event being staged in the world at the moment. It's amazing how this event just seems to have exploded over the last 3 years. This is the fifth time it's been run. 2 years ago, they had 175 boats. They've got 264 last year. But this year, there's 420 boats. There's about 1,000 fishermen. And they're estimating another 1,000 people that have come to town on the back of this.
All right. What happens?
So, well, tomorrow morning at 7:30, they all take to the sea and they fish for the next 3 days, chasing an amazing prize pool of over $1 million, the biggest billfish. The prize for that is $350,000. Kubota, who are the sponsors, have actually put up, I think it's about a 4-ton digger, and that's valued at $100,000, and that goes to the last man standing. Now, I'm not quite sure how that's judged, Catherine. Yeah, I don't think I want to be there when that's drawn. But you know what? The other one that's happening too the week after, hard on the heels of this, is Beach Hop, which is in its 24th year. Now, it's quite incredible because last week we had our local council come out with their long-term plan. A lot of it is about being in recovery mode, and it's events like this that the region desperately needs. The economic benefit of both the fishing contest and Beach Hop is estimated to potentially reach $20 million. Now, that is very significant. That is based on 100,000 people coming to Whangamataura in the region next week for Beach Hop. There's never been done an economic study done on the Billfish Classic, but they are going to do that this year. But the estimate of that is somewhere around about $3.5 million. So, you know, as I said earlier, it's just the sort of stuff that the region needs.
That's a lot of people coming in. And so Beach Hop, this is more vehicle-based than boat-based, yeah? Who turns up in what?
Well, you can imagine there's lots of petrol heads that turn up for this. But Beach Hop was about cars through the 50s, 60s, 70s, and the dancing and the music that went with it. Noddy Watts is the guy who's behind this. He's been acknowledged over the years for what has occurred on the back of Beach Hop. It is just enormous. You know, you can't get accommodation across the region for the week that Beach Hop is here. What they did last year was something a bit different. They actually take the cars right around the Coromandel Peninsula. Now, that was because State Highway 25 was closed and they couldn't get over and do a day trip to the likes of Thames. And he's repeating that this year. So rather than just being confined to the likes of Whangamataura, Waihee, and maybe one other town, every town on the peninsula now gets to enjoy and the benefits of Beach Hop coming to the region.
Just looking at some of these vehicles, pretty impressive indeed. Very good. All right, that's something to look forward to. But as you say, much needed also. Now, back to Cathedral Cove. Any shift in the prospects of its the access opening anytime? Any shift?
Do you think we will ever stop talking about this on these sessions, Catherine? You know, we've talked about visits from government ministers. We've talked about meetings behind closed doors. Last month, we talked about the conservation minister, Tama Potaka, having a meeting with both local business leaders. Well, he's now followed up on that. And on the first of this month, he went public instructing the Department of Conservation to pretty much get on with it and get Cathedral Cove open by the coming summer. He said at the time it was clear that we needed to make sure visitors can once again and safely enjoy what is one of the country's iconic locations. Staff have to make this a priority. We haven't heard anything since that time. I've spoken to, obviously, the local business community who are excited about the minister standing up and making this statement. There is a little bit of skepticism, as you can believe. there is a lot of thanks that's been given to our local MP, Scott Simpson. It was pretty much Scott's pushing and endurance that got Tama Potaka here to look at it. So I said, you know, the reactions have been positive from locals, but cautious. Interesting, there's a blog that's doing the rounds at the moment where a chap has walked the track. He's done it 6 times just recently. And the most recent time, he took his 4 and 7 year old children with him. And he managed to walk down, get around the obstacles, and actually enjoy Cathedral Cove. So I assume Doc will still have their concerns over the instability of the land. But hey, look, there is some promising outcomes in regards to this moving forward.
Mm. Well, in talking to them, they had a key concern about tourists. It was the infamous reference to some people turning up in their stilettos. Not advised, but interesting, one or two locals saying, you know, we're going anyway. Let's see where it heads. John, the Hauraki Plains Adaptation Plan. Could you explain a little bit more about what's been going on with this?
Yeah, there's a few councils around the country that are looking at adaptation plans. Hauraki Plain or Hauraki District Council is one that's picked it up. It's more around sort of those long-term impacts of climate change. Now, there's a fair bit of work going on around the whole sort of Firth of Thames, Hauraki Gulf. This week, Hauraki Gulf Marine Protection Bill submissions were being heard. And I know there's a number of Coromandel Peninsula fishing clubs and various organisations that submitted on this. The Hauraki Plains Adaption Plan is looking at what is going to be required over the next 100 years. Now, the council actually did a similar exercise for Kaiawa up on the western side of the Firth of Thames and got that plan through. They're now looking at the Hauraki Plains as such. And that's a really low-lying part of the country. Some parts of that are up to 2 metres below sea level. You've got two rivers, the Piako and the Waihau, which flow through the plains. You've got ageing infrastructure around that, all susceptible to flooding, Catherine. So what the council is now trying to do is starting this weekend, they've got 2 public sessions. They're actually going to the Kirrapahi Bowling Club in the hope of attracting people to come along and actually get involved in the development of the plan.
Very good. And can we just go into a little bit more detail on some of the specific issues? Because it's various hazards, isn't it? Droughts, earthquakes, land subsidence, yeah?
Correct. So they're looking at them all. It's very much about public engagement. So they're saying what they want to do is actually hear from the people. They're actually calling for people who are prepared to stand and sit on the committee to actually consider the plan. It's really quite good. As you said, you know, there are things that climate change is throwing into the mix, earthquakes. And, you know, we're one of those areas that's still susceptible to earthquakes and land subsidence and any other risks and hazards that are found. Look, it's a good idea. There's no doubt about it. As I said before, there's lots of plans that are being developed. But, you know, if you want to go somewhere, you need a plan. And hopefully the public will buy into this and join the council to try and achieve it.
Is anyone critical of this approach, or by and large it's being welcomed?
No, there was some criticism around the one that they did for Kaiawa. And there again, it was sort of based on with a number of other plans. As I mentioned, the Marine Protection Bill for the Hauraki Gulf. You know, was this just another plan? Would it have any traction? Well, only time will tell. But, you know, talking to the local council, they're actually making quite a big effort this weekend to make sure that they do get cut through to the public and the public does buy into it.
Very good, John. Just a reminder about those events that are coming up then. Whitianga this weekend, the world's biggest fishing event, they call it, the Kubota Billfish Classic, and then the Beach Hop the weekend after. Which one brings in the biggest numbers? It's the Beach Hop here. 100,000.
Beach Hop, obviously.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Being in Whangamata on Friday afternoon or Saturday morning to see the parade and having 100,000 people queued up down the street, and it's really, it's quite an unbelievable experience.
Has accommodation held up, John, after the twin blows of the pandemic and then the road closures after the storms? Is there still plenty of accommodation available to people?
There is plenty of accommodation. It's interesting you ask that question because I was talking to a friend of mine this morning who's got an Airbnb, and he said that he's been full pretty much since Christmas, and that seems to be moving forward. So, no, you know, obviously, as I mentioned earlier, all the accommodation through the area next week will be booked up. And but, yeah, things seem to be sort of heading in the right direction.
That would be good. Thank you, John. Much appreciated. John Freer. He is with CFM. He's a local news reporter based on the Coromandel Peninsula.